Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. My name is Kevin Acey, a Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. My boss, sports editor Jay Posner. I am in Oakland, just got here. Always happy to be in Oakland. Such a unique ballpark. The Padres play the A's. A very good team who have not played in, what is it, Jay, 9 days?
No, they played a doubleheader on Saturday.
Okay.
They were scheduled off Thursday. Friday was off because of sort of the protest movement. Played a doubleheader Saturday, then had COVID issues. Did not play Sunday. And then their entire series with Seattle was postponed. So they've played two games basically in a week.
And two games in a week.
So who knows how they'll react. I mean, obviously none of their pitchers have thrown in games, their hitters. I mean, they could come out and beat the Padres 13-0 tonight. I mean, they could get shelled and get nothing. You know, it's baseball, Kevin. Who in the heck knows?
That is true. It is the kind of thing where it would make sense that their pitchers have a little trouble, but this season has been so bizarre. And yeah, the crazy thing is they've done all sorts of things that they never thought they could do. And so, hey, wow, maybe 4 days off or 5 days, whatever, 6 days in the middle of a season, maybe that's good for you. It was like an all-star break.
Right. That's what they've had. They had their all-star break for a week while the Padres were off playing, in Denver Sunday, Monday, and then an off day, and then two games in Anaheim the past 2 days, which were, a little bit odd games. I mean, the Padres were losing Wednesday night and Profar hit a two-run homer. They were losing again and Profar hit a sacrifice fly. You know, with two outs in the eighth inning, everything blew open. And then yesterday you were kind of waiting for that to happen. And it felt like Joe Maddon was managing, like, you know, everything depended on yesterday's game, and his starting pitcher was going to stay out there until his arm dropped off. And I'm not sure, I didn't look it up, if anybody's thrown 117 pitches or whatever it is for any team this year, as Andrew Heaney did yesterday. But he pitched great, and then the Angels even got two scoreless innings out of their bullpen. And I think, you know, we've grown accustomed to seeing the Padres just beat up on other teams' bullpens late in games. And yesterday it just didn't happen. One of those days, and, you know, it's baseball. You're certainly not going to win every game. And Padres have been shut out twice all year. So, and the weirdest thing is both shutouts, you know, in a 30-mile, within 30 miles of each other up north of here.
I think it's interesting. I think it's encouraging that rather than saying, gosh, waiting for the bullpen to blow it, you really did have a feeling like, this is the inning. Well, this is the inning the Padres blow it open. This is the inning. And that's who they are generally. They lost yesterday. They didn't hit very well. Three hits, three singles.
Right.
I'll tell you, for me, Jay, it feels like I've been away for a while. Both the craziness in Colorado, then there was an off day, and then I couldn't cover these games in Anaheim. So it really does feel to me like it's been a long time since I've seen this team play. That's just kind of the way it is in the season when you're used to going every day.
It's the equivalent of like 8 days without seeing them, you know, if you think about it. So maybe it's not so weird you feel like that. I don't know.
Looking forward to seeing just this rotation now. Now, I mean, there's actually a five-man rotation. They only need it for another three times through. That's not to say they won't use the fifth man through the end of the season, but they actually have a five-man rotation. Wow. I've been waiting for this for so long, and the pitcher is Mike Clevinger. What did you think of Mike Clevinger yesterday?
You know, it was weird. The Angels almost hit for the cycle against him with their guys batting leadoff in every inning. Single, double, triple. So I'm not sure. And they put up a graphic that I guess he's been a much better pitcher with runners on base than he has been with empty bases, and you could see that yesterday. You know, how much can you read into a guy's start? He's certainly interesting to watch. I mean, the motion is quite unusual, and the energy that he has out there, and he's throwing 98, you know, with the fastball, and he's got two breaking pitches and a changeup. So you can see where the stuff is there, and he really, you know, to use the vernacular, he really battled out there to keep it to a two-run game. And, you know, in a sense, I mean, Will Myers, I don't mind him making an aggressive play there, but, you know, that's a single that turns into a triple. Maybe they only get the one run. two runners thrown out by Austin Nola behind the plate, which doubled his total while he was in Seattle behind the plate, and Profar threw out a runner at third base as well. So, you know, look, Clevinger didn't blow anybody away yesterday. If nothing else, as you said, solidifies a five-man rotation. Hadn't pitched in a week. Before that, he hadn't pitched in 2 or 3 weeks. So don't want to read too much into one start. Looking forward to seeing him at Petco twice next week, actually. He'll pitch Tuesday night against the Rockies, and then if everything stays in order, he would go in the Sunday day game against the Giants as well.
Well, all that considered that you mentioned, that he hadn't pitched in a while, obviously he was geeked up. He got himself in some trouble, and he allowed two runs. I don't want to make excuse for the guy who's supposed to be the new ace, because that sounds an awful lot like what we used to say about Eric Lauer and Joey Lucchese. You know, he battled. But, you know, no, was it super impressive? It absolutely was not. Right. But like you said, it was his first game, and there was a lot that went into it. And, man, he goes to those breaky pitches a lot. He's going to be a trip to watch.
It's one of those things also where if you didn't see the game, picked up your phone afterwards and looked at the box score and you saw 6 innings, 2 runs. Okay. I mean, you'll take that from your starting pitcher pretty much every day. Yeah. Would you rather have 7 innings or 8 innings? Of course, but 2 runs and 6 innings, you'll take that. Watching the game itself, it wasn't quite as impressive as that, but it's impressive that he kept it to 2 runs. Over those 6. And he, you know, the old thing, he gave his team a chance to win. And I would say most people would like the Padres' chances this season. If their pitchers are only going to give up 2 runs a game, they're going to win most of the time.
It was interesting. A shutout. They happened. They happened to, I'm assuming, the 27 Yankees got shut out. I have never gone back and looked. This lineup is magnificent, Jay, in comparison to what we have seen in the past. Yes. I did this thing earlier in the week where I looked at them against the Dodgers, and it's like, wow, for the first time ever, I still think the Dodgers are a better team, but for the first time since I have been back in town in a while, really paying attention to the Padres, they line up with the Dodgers. I don't want to get like ahead here. It's a week away. I am so looking forward to that series. And it's not the end all, Jay. The playoffs is where the end all is now. I mean, barring a collapse of colossal proportions, the Padres are in the playoffs. But I do want to see, finally, a series where the Padres actually are, I don't know if as good as, you can dream that they are as good as the Dodgers.
Right. Although, and then when they play that series, and I haven't looked far enough ahead to see who the Dodgers will be throwing, but the Padres will pitch that series most likely without Clevinger and without Lamet. And those two guys could be their top two starters going into the playoffs. So we'll see. But it's, again, we're saying they have a five-man rotation. They'll have Davies and Paddock and Richards in that series, and we'll see how the lineup stacks up. It's interesting, you know, the Dodger lineup is so deep, but you look at the Padres and they've got some of that as well, especially in games when Austin Nola catches, but look who had the huge hit on Wednesday night, you know, Jason Castro. I think I did see one person on Twitter say he's very concerned about Mitch Moreland. He's got to start producing. You know, he's had 11 at bats as a Padre. So might be a little early to worry about anybody.
Here's what I think
in the trade so far. We'll see how things go. But it's definitely, you know, when you've got a guy like Nola that you're able to hit eighth, I think when Seattle was here a week or so ago, it feels like forever, but I think it was just last week, I think Nola was hitting fourth or fifth. I think he hit fifth, maybe. Mm-hmm. So that just shows. Look, the Padres in the past would have had a guy like Nola hitting fourth or fifth. Now he's going to hit seventh or eighth pretty much every game.
That's where I'm talking. You look through that entire lineup. That's what I guess really it impresses me, is not just the top of the lineup. What happened now, obviously not yesterday, but in the first game in Anaheim, the last game in Colorado, the bottom of the lineup is what came through in big moments. And they got hits. They scored runs. They got themselves on base, turned it over. Now Trent Grisham's been in a little bit of a slump, but you know, they turned the lineup over, and you figure if they keep doing that, that it works out. Regarding Mitch Moreland, I think part of the problem is he looks like he's running in wet sand compared to the rest of the Padres. Like, it's a pretty fast team. And, you know, he makes Eric Hosmer and Manny Machado look fast. So maybe that's the thing, too, is that when you see him ground out, you go, oh, wow, he had no chance.
Hosmer and Machado are almost, I don't want to call them fast, but they're sort of sneaky fast. I mean, Hosmer can get from first to third on a single, even to left field. When he gets going. And, you know, Machado, it's that thing where he never really looks like he's running hard, but he is. He's got long strides, and he's able to, I think he scored from first on a hit. I was laughing. I think it was the Denver game where Profar scored from first on a triple by Tatis, maybe?
It ended up being a triple, yes.
Yeah, and Tatis was barely breathing at third, and Profar looked like he needed somebody to get him oxygen walking back to the dugout there.
What, do you remember this player who used to play for the Padres? He also scored on a triple in Colorado, Austin Hedges, earlier in the and man, I honestly thought he was going to need oxygen.
Nola's the catcher, and he ran. He looks like he runs okay. I think he beat out a double play ball in one of the games against the Angels. So, look, we've said this all year. This is, and even before the deals, this is an interesting team, much more exciting team to watch. The lineup is deeper. Are there still areas to worry about a little bit? I would say yes, and I think right now, I think Grisham is probably at the top of that list. But again, you can't read too much into a week or two. But he has not appeared to be, other than the 3-home run game, which you don't want to just toss aside. But other than that game, he hasn't really been what we thought we'd see at the plate. But he's also, what, 23 years old?
Yeah, I was going to say. And I don't want to, like, again, fall
into, I don't want to sound like it's a big deal. But, you know, you got to look for areas. I mean, we can't just talk about it. Wow, this team's great all the time. So there are areas to worry about. And I think Grisham isn't somebody to worry about, but it's something to keep an eye on as we move into the, you know, final, what, 3.5 weeks here.
Let me ask you this. You'll be a good person to comment on this. I'm pretty sure that Trent Grisham, I saw the stats and I've been watching it with my own eyes, that he gets jobbed as much as anyone by umpires. Here's the deal. He's a guy who establishes the strike zone. He is a true leadoff hitter. Like, not like Tatis, right? Like Tatis, first pitch, fifth pitch, 12th pitch, whatever. Grisham is up there to work a count, and he does a really good job at it. When the umpire isn't helping him, it doesn't go so well. Now, he also hasn't looked good. So my point being, he's gotten jobbed. You also got to deal with it.
Yeah, I think it's gotten in his head a little bit as far as, like, where is the zone now? And, yeah. I mean, the Padres have had – I mean, is Ted Barrett just going to follow this team around for the rest of the year? Was he on your flight today, Kevin, going to Oakland? I mean, it's like he's taken up residence here with the Padres. And wherever Ted Barrett goes, Mark Ripperger goes, and that's not a good sign. You know, Adrian Johnson showed up the other night behind the plate, and he wasn't much better than these other guys. I will say Barrett's strike zone yesterday was a million times better than it was the last time we saw him. It was like he was a different guy, was in his body or something. I mean,
except it went from the guy you just had 3 games earlier to this guy.
You're
so
right.
Then it, wait, but you know, I'm sure that fans have noticed about it. I wrote about it once that you know, there's a rule, and I forget what it is. Is it 14 or 15 games or 4 series or something during a regular season? You can't have the same crew. And there was a point where they, in the first 5 series, had the majority of the same crew. Some guys subbed out, but the majority of the same crew 4 times in the first 5 series, and Ripperger was one of them, and I forget who the others were. Now Barrett has been lately because they're regionalizing those guys, and those umpires are sometimes flying with the teams to get to the city because, you know, if they went commercial, they wouldn't be allowed in Anaheim Stadium. So,
Well, it makes sense, and, you know, I'm gonna hate myself for saying this if one of these guys shows up in Oakland tonight, but, you know, haven't seen Joe West, haven't seen Angel Hernandez yet, so you know, I guess it could be worse. I haven't seen Bill Welke either. Maybe he's following Andy Green around with the Cubs. I'm not sure, but it's got to be hard for someone like Grisham who has really. Seems like, especially for someone as young as he is, to have a pretty good handle on the strike zone and then to just get thrown all out of whack. And it does take some adjusting. And he's ended up where he gets called, some pitches get called outside the zone, and then he winds up taking pitches that are in the zone that he probably shouldn't be. And
I brought it up.
I'm sure he's working through something.
I brought it up, and I knew that you would know where I'm going, and that I wanted to hear what you had to say about the umpires. But I've seen it happen to young players before. Franmil Reyes was one. And you got to deal with it. Franchi Cordero was one. He never got a chance to really work through it, and he might never. But you got to deal with it. But it is a real thing where they're like, you know, I'm trying to do exactly what I'm supposed to do, and it was working for me, and now it's not working for me. And so, anyway, that's that. But you're right. That's one. Their bench isn't – now, we're getting nitpicky here, and I'm trying to compare them to the Dodgers, but their bench isn't, I mean, that great.
No, I mean, Grisham gets a day off yesterday, and Mateo's out there, and who's to say whether Mateo's going to be useful or not, but – you know, this guy who's had, 20 at-bats in the big leagues, something along those lines. But they still have, Garcia on the bench, so that's a good thing. You know, you feel like they're set with the two catchers. But it's definitely not the bench doesn't feel all that deep with, right, you know, guys like Naylor and France traded away. But, you know, at the same time, look at what the bullpen's done, which has been a big area of concern recently, and it's pitched really well now. The only run, Jeff Sanders pointed this out in his series recap today, I think the only run they gave up in Anaheim, Javi Guerra gave up a run after it was 11-3 or whatever it was. So the bullpen seems to be pitching better in recent times.
Speaking of the bullpen, it made me think of it. Jorge Mateo is out of options. Javi Guerra is out of options. These are guys who are going to be on the team, right? Unless the Padres just decide, hey, okay, we've seen enough, which I just don't see that happening. It's too much promise in both those players. September 15th is when players got to be on the roster to be eligible for the postseason. They've got to get a look at some of these bullpen guys. It'll be interesting. You know, Pagan's on the IL right now. Decided, right, hey, we need to get a look at Altavilla. But he could use this time down, even though they said he was feeling better. Pagan, he could use this time down. Let's see. But are you going to see what Taylor Williams can do? They're still hoping Austin Adams will be healthy. That Jose Castillo will be healthy. But it's almost like, well, wait a minute. What if the bullpen starts pitching well? What are we going to actually put Jose Castillo in there? It'll be very interesting what happens with this pitching. Plus, it's a pitching staff now. As soon as they get through this run of games, which was 15, so it's now 13, right? Run of 13 straight games. Then they have those three off days in the final 11 days, I think it is. And so it's a pitching staff because you're going to move first one of those starters down, probably go with four in the postseason. But you're going to move one of those starters down. That'll be interesting. So we're getting the territory, Jay, where we're talking about some things with the Padres that we've not talked about before in September.
Yeah, we're obviously way ahead of ourselves. And a guy like Greg Allen, you know, had a good game the other night, and then the next day he's gone. So, you know, where does he fit in as we go into the postseason, and how do they structure it? I mean, we'll have plenty of time to talk about this, but how do they structure the roster? Is that going to be 26 or 28?
28 in the postseason. You're not going to do that to them. But, you know, but I'll stop on this getting too far ahead. But Greg Allen would be a real nice guy from everything I've heard and what you see, what kind of player he is. That's a nice guy to have in the postseason. And I honestly have to check to see if postseason roster is the same. Maybe Jorge Mateo doesn't have to be on it. You know, Greg Allen seems like a nice guy to have in the postseason. Been around a little bit, and you sub him in and – you know, in a crucial situation, play some defense, run, whatever.
I've seen Allen play, I'm sure, more than you have, just because I have a family connection with watching Indians games, and so I see them play more. He's definitely a guy that you would want on the roster, and far more experienced than a guy like Mateo. I can't imagine options wouldn't matter.
I don't think so, but for the
postseason, But
as far as how the roster works, though, I got to ask a bunch of people, because I have not covered a playoff baseball team. Even going back when I covered the Angels, that was pre-World Series, and I covered the Dodgers in the midst of their, you know, 50 years without a World Series. So I've never covered a playoff baseball team.
We'll have time for that. But in the meantime, we will watch three games in Oakland. And then the Padres are home for, what, 9, 6, 10 games, actually.
The longest,
the Rockies, the Giants, and the Dodgers. We will not be on here on Monday because of the holiday. So we will come back on Tuesday and discuss what you saw and what we saw in Oakland, as well as the holiday game against the Rockies. And then we'll probably do Tuesday, Thursday next week with the Giants starting on Thursday. So some fun times ahead, and especially after this weekend with the Rockies and the Giants coming in. Those are the two teams, obviously, that the Padres need to beat out to clinch second place in the division and get into the postseason. So everyone stay safe out there this weekend. I hope you have air conditioning or a lot of fans. It's already heating up here. Devin, and enjoy your weekend up in the Bay.
Will do. Thanks, everybody.